Thank you, Pastor.
My name is Teresa Ventura Macanti, and I'm married. So allow me to share the goodness of God to my family through the Compassion Sponsorship. So my two brothers and I were born and raised in the slums of the Philippines in the island called Cebu. And each night, my family slept on the floor because we don't have a bed. And so we don't have a kitchen and a toilet. So each time we want to use them, we will run to my grandmother's house. And our house is like maybe a kitchen size in Australia. So as a little girl, I'd sometimes faint from not having breakfast, and I lack iron in my body. And because my mother and my father goes out of the house from 5 a.m. and will not come back until 12 midnight. So my family, my parents are activists. When you say activists in the Philippines, they go around the community and they help poor communities as well. And they organize them so that they can have campaign over, like against the government. So my mother used to be a Christian, but when they got married with my father, they decided that they will seek, like they will just seek activism and not believe in God. And so I miss my mother a lot and my father a lot, but the only person who is available for us is my grandmother, who is my mother's mother. And so my grandmother also keep a little bit of shop, like a small selling food. But when my mother and father are not around, we sleep with her. And at 3:30 daily, she will wake up in the morning and she will pray. And she will pray for her 9 children and she will pray for her grandchildren. And I'm always surprised why, when she mentions my name, she will always say, "May she know Jesus as her Lord and Savior when she grows up." And I could not understand why does she pray that every day. And so my grandmother knew that my father and my mother will not be able to raise up a family that is like able to provide for the things that we needed, especially in the education aspect. And so my grandmother told my father if he is able to allow me to be a compassion child in the church that she's attending. And so my father asked, what are the benefits of being a compassion child? And so my father was aware that that we will be able to have educational benefit, medical benefit, and we will have tutoring of the subjects in the school. And my father said, yes, that's really, really good, dental benefit, because a poor family in the Philippines can never have those access. And so my father said, except knowing Jesus. I don't want my child to know about God. But for me, I was really joyful that even once a month, because I always find it hard to go to the church where my grandmother goes. Because every time that I wanted to go on a Sunday, my father will beat me with belt, which is allowed in the Philippines. And sometimes when I really push in coming to church, my father will put salt and will ask me to kneel down so that I will not just come to church. But when I become a compassion child, before it was just once in a month, one Sunday in a month. So that's for me, it's a joy. It's a total freedom that even once a month I can come and see who Jesus is in my grandmother's life. And so when I became a compassion child, they gave me so much acceptance. When I compare my community, my slum, from the church people, they're totally opposite. In my slum area, the moment they wake up, they will utter curses. They will utter things that are not good. But when I come to church, they will always just say, "Jesus love." And now I can see that Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control is really evident in their lives. And so I was so joyful. In the camp, The Compassion also run camps in 3 days. Every summer, we always have camps. And so that's the joy that I always joined, because it's very different from chaotic slum area to a very peaceful environment where I can just hear the love of God. And so at 9 years old, there was a camp, and our pastor told us this question. Who do you think will go to heaven? And everybody was saying all the things that they wanted to say, but our pastor just looked at us and said, you know the verse, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not by good works. It is the gift of God so that no one can boast. And I was saying to God, Lord, because it is by grace alone that I can come to you, I will receive you as my Lord and Savior wholeheartedly. And that's the most important decision that I ever made in my life as a compassion child. And I said to the youth, what are you doing? Because they were so joyful that they will be water baptized. And I said, like, what is water baptism? And they said, it's publicly declaring that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And I said, I really wanted to declare too that Jesus is my Savior. But they said, pastor said that we need to call your father. And so they called my father, and my father said, no, until I will be 18, I cannot decide for myself to believe in Jesus or not. And so I said to my pastor, pastor, can you just throw me in the water? Because anyway, my parents will not know it. And then my pastor said to me, can you please say to me Ephesians 6:1? I was like, Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I was like, pastor, but I think I am right because I am in the Lord, but I think my parents are not right because they are not believing in God. But my pastor said to me, you know what? In Acts, Peter said, when one of your household member will be saved, then your entire household will be saved because that's the promise of God. And then he said to me, you need to pray for your family. And that's the desire of every compassion child. If you have one, that's their desire, that their entire family will come to know Jesus and their entire community. So starting from that time, I will wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30, with my grandmother. We always pray and cry to God. But nothing happened. I was like, God, when will you save my family? When will my father stop persecuting me because of my faith? But then I did not know, 4 years after believing in Jesus, a fire devastated our community. 500 slum houses was just destroyed in a matter of hours. And I said to God, Lord, you said that your love endures forever, but how come our community, our entire community was destroyed by fire? We don't have a home anymore. And where would we be? And we could no longer rebuild our house because the government said that we don't own the land. And so I did not know that God is working. And compassion reminded us that Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. But in my heart, I was questioning the goodness of God and what can come out of those things. And I did not know that it's an avenue that my father will come to know Jesus. He allowed us to live in the church parsonage for even when it was against his will, because for 6 months we live in the public school. In the morning we go to school, and in the evening we sleep together with all our neighbors. And he remembered that, I remembered that compassion said that we can live in the church parsonage, but I don't want you to step inside the church. How much more to live inside the church parsonage? But when we were in the church Sunday, my father was looking for us in the church parsonage, but he can't see us. We were inside the church, and he was just at the very back of the church. And he said, he heard John 3:16. Maybe for you as a Christian, it's very, very common, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he said that something struck in his heart. He said that, I did not know that Jesus was already sent by the Father to come and be the solution. I thought that activism is the solution. And so Sunday by Sunday, he just came to church and listening. And I could not ask my father, Papa, why are you coming to church now? And so December 31st, the last day of the year, he said to me, I'm sorry for what I have done to you, because I did not know that the Jesus that you're believing is true, and you are true to your belief. And he said to me, can we be water baptized together? I was saying, Papa, I still need to wait for 5 more years, as what you said. I'm still 13. But he said, can we be water baptized together? And he became a believer. And he, after becoming a believer, my mother also gave her faith to God as well, together with my brothers. And so he became a compassion volunteer for 4 years. And after that, he became the project director, by God's grace, of the same compassion center that I grew up in. And our joy is to see our family come to faith. And the dream that we have of finishing university, which was very impossible for us. You might think, like, why would finishing in the university be a very big help? In the Philippines, if you don't have a university degree, you will never have any chance of elevating yourself from poverty. And so for him, it was so important. And then he saw how God was able to make an impossible thing possible. And he served 350 children and youth for the past 18 years as a family. And it's because of someone like you who is very faithful to the Lord. My sponsor was from America. She has 4 children as well. And I always wonder, God, why would she has her children of her own, but why would she care for me? She did not even see me in person. But because of your love, Lord, I can see that she's really praying for me, because she always declared in her letters before, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And even when you live in the slums, I know that God will make you a good person and you will serve others." And I was like, thank you, Lord, for my sponsor. Because if I would not be a sponsored child, I would have not known Jesus. And I would not have served the church in my community as well. And to God be the glory, great things he has done. And thank you in behalf of your Compassion Children. And to the church, thank you, Pastor.
Okay, thank you, Matt, for making me follow that. Whew, I'm a mess. Whew, Teresa. Just, whew. Okay, so the whole segue was going to be, and I'm going to ruin it now because I'm a mess. Okay. Josh and I, we've been here, I don't even know how long we've been coming to St. Aidan's, but we last year heard Compassion for the first time. 2 years ago. Have we had it for 2 years? Oh, okay. 2 years ago. See, I'm all a mess. We heard Spiro for the first time. Big fan. And we decided to pick a sponsor child, and Cadence helped us pick. And she picked Stiffy, because she was wearing a Frozen dress. That's what you pick when you're 7, because she's 9 now. Also, Stiffy was the same age as her. And we love Stiffy's letters. They're so cute. And then her mum writes to us. But the great thing about it all is it's all online, and you can just go and write letters. So we actually have just outsourced the job to the 9-year-old, and she's basically written all the letters. So she writes on our behalf and her behalf, and her and Stiffy have formed quite a cute relationship. And it's very cute when they send you, like, "Oh, thanks for my birthday presents," and then they tell you what you get and you're like, "Oh, that's so cute," you know, like, she's happy with just, like, oh, I'm gonna cry again. I'm happy with, like, coloring in, like, very simple, like, coloring in. And she got a her last birthday, she got a really good cake. She said it was like the most delicious cake she'd ever had. And you're like, just cake and colouring in. And you're just like, dude, you two are spoiled out of your brains to my own children. So if you aren't a Compassion, if you don't have a Compassion sponsor child yet, because you're like, oh, you know, I want to be committed to writing the letters and forming the relationship, it's so easy. A 9-year-old can go in and add the photos, and there's, like, little templates to make, like, cute borders, and it's all very cute too. So it's very easy, and you actually get the physical letters back. So we have kept all ours. So whilst you write them online, they print them and send them, and then you get the physical letter back. So, and it's online as well, so it's like the double. So if that's stopping you because you thought it might be a little bit like, you know, I don't always have time to write a letter, well, it's not. So think about that. Anyway, I'm going to read now because that's enough and I've stopped crying now. Whew. This is very anticlimactic, but it is God's word, so it's not that good. Okay. Teresa, you're just fabulous. I love you. Okay. As for those who were... I should probably say what we're reading. I'm doing the first one, Galatians 2. I've lost all my mojo, haven't I? Okay. As for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they recognized that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along.
All right, and turning a few pages over to Galatians 6, and it's just very short, verses 7 to 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers.
Good morning. Father, we thank you that we have been rescued by Jesus, who gave himself to pay for our sins. Father, help us today to consider what it might look like to live as rescued people. Father, we read in Galatians that there is a way to live where we sow to please the Spirit. Help us to consider what they may look like for each one of us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's easy to grow weary. There are so many needs in the world, both locally and globally. I've been to the Philippines for a couple of trips. I visited kids scavenging through rubbish dumps. That's what they did every day, 7 days a week, along with their parents. In other places, I visited children living in the rubbish dumps. They actually paid rent to live in those homes. And I feel exasperated. There are so many needs around the world. What can I do, one person living in Australia? Well, perhaps you can help rescue one child. And that shouldn't be an alien thing for you, an alien concept, because that's your story too. If you're here today and you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, it's because you've been rescued by God. It's because Jesus left the 99 to go and find you. Let's reflect on that from Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, which I'll just read. Just go two slides forward, thanks. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. So if you trust in Jesus, you've been rescued from this horrific evil that is prevalent in our society. And that evil is unbelief. From Adam and Eve till today, all evil flows from unbelief, not believing what God says. But if you trust in Jesus, it's because you've been rescued. And you've been rescued to be God's co-worker. So no amount of good works can save you. I've got, I think, 57 profiles of children on the table outside. You can sponsor everyone, still can't save you. But once you are saved, there is a way to live that pleases God. So in 1 Corinthians 3, we're called God's co-workers. In Ephesians chapter 2, as Teresa shared, it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. But then in verse 10, we see we are God's workmanship. Wow, what a beautiful description of a Christian. God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So today I'm going to focus mainly on Galatians chapter 6, but in fact I'm just going to look at four Greek letters, a root word. What does it mean to do good works? I want to explore that. It sounds boring, but hopefully it won't be boring. Well, let's see what the apostles did as a clue. In Galatians chapter 2, we see two groups of apostles. Peter, James, and John, they go to the Jewish people and share the good news about Jesus. Paul and Barnabas, they go to the Gentiles. It is the same gospel message for all of humanity as it was then, so it is today. There's only one way to be saved. It is through faith in Jesus. But did you see in verse 10 they have another thing in common? These guys that walk with Jesus, they said, don't forget the poor. And Paul's like, I was eager to remember the poor. And it's a strange phrase, isn't it, remembering the poor? Because it's easy to forget the poor. It's easy to be slow to remember the poor. But the Apostle Paul was eager to remember the poor. And the church has been eager to remember the poor for 2,000 years. And it has made the church beautiful and salt and light in their communities, in the communities where the churches exist. Compassion works through 8,500 churches in the developing world. And those churches are salt and light in their communities. And we are seeing, during the most challenging time, past 4 years, during a pandemic, exponential growth in Christianity in the countries that we work in, because churches are loving their communities. Compassion's ministry has enabled my family to remember the poor. Here's a photo of Panyacorn with my daughter Julie on her first compassion trip, and a photo of him with his dad. His mum had died of cancer 2 years earlier, so my family, or my youngest son Nathaniel, decided to sponsor him. So that was 2017. We went back in 2018, and he had grown. He was previously malnourished. His behaviour had changed. He was doing well at school. We, in the meantime, we had sent a $100 family gift. So if you sponsor a child, it's $48 a month. But in addition, if you would like to, you can send a monetary gift, and 100% of the value of that will go to the family. Panyacorn's dad built that whole extension with $100 and started a hairdressing business. So he'd previously been working on construction sites, and he wanted to be at home with his son more often rather than being away from home for many hours a day. So he was cutting the hair of people in the village, and he was getting by, he told me. In the next slide, there's a photo of my daughter Penelope, who sent $100 to her sponsor child Abraham. He wrote a letter and said, bought a pair of sandals and a bed. I've never slept in a bed before. All this time, I've been sleeping on the floor. We never noticed that, even though we had visited him twice. We never kind of thought to ask, where's your bed? He had just been sleeping on the floor. We went back to Thailand and Indonesia in January 2020 with the Harkin family. They're great travel buddies. I can recommend traveling with the Harkin family. We went to Thailand, and then they left us, and then we went to Indonesia after that. And this is a photo of Panyacorn. He was doing well. He was growing. That's a photo of Panyacorn, my son Nathaniel. But something, I discovered something amazing, which perhaps I would not have realized or found out about unless I had been on a trip. Here's a photo of Panyacorn's pastor, Pastor Sombat. He's the minister of a church that cares for 500 of the poorest kids in the community, Compassion Kids, and other kids who are not as poor, who are also part of the church community. He told me that Panyacorn's dad had become a Christian. And so God had all we had done was remembered the poor, and God had provided this incredible harvest. Back in 2018, I invited Panyacorn's dad to come to church to hear the good news about Jesus. I said, I'm speaking tomorrow. Maybe you can come along and hear the sort of things your son's being taught. And he's like, oh, I don't know. I'm not going to come. I'm Buddhist. But the next day, I got a very moving memory of this. Everyone's standing up and singing, and then he walks in with Panyacorn. He'd never set foot in the church before. And everyone sat down and started clapping. So that's how you should welcome new people at your church as well. And it was really moving. And then he started singing the songs, and he'd never heard these things about Jesus. And Pastor Sombat went back to that house again and again. And we all we did was remember the poor. We sponsored a little boy, and God had saved the life of a man. And he was now reading the Bible to his son. I'm not sure if Panyacorn's a Christian yet, but we're still praying for that. We've got the privilege of praying for that. Pastor Sombat is part of this incredible cycle. He too was a former sponsor child. And he said many of the people in his generation grew up to be in church ministry. Compassion's been raising up Christians for 71 years, since it began as an orphanage for 35 kids in South Korea. And God has been doing amazing things, simply because anonymous people like me, anonymous everyday Christians like me and you, have been eager to remember the poor. And God has generously multiplied that generosity. Well, let's jump from Galatians chapters 1 and 2. We'll go to Galatians chapter 6, and I'll reread. You're doing so well up there with the slides. We're just going with intuition today. This is beautiful. It's like having a clicker. I'll reread verses 9 and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. It would have been easy for you to give up over the past few years. Many of us have experienced difficulties during this pandemic, but I want to thank you so much for continuing to support your Compassion Sponsor Kids. Many of you sponsor children, supporting the ministry of your church, because without churches like this, Compassion's ministry wouldn't exist. And the Apostle Paul, he faced some pretty challenging times too, but he kept going. And he's the one that's writing this, "Let us not become weary in doing good." He faced challenges. He wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "We despaired of life itself." That sounds pretty challenging. Maybe some of you have felt that way during COVID. But when things are bleak, that is when Christians shine. I want to explore now that word, good. What is doing good? So you see the same English word, verses 9 and 10, doing good and let us do good. But in Greek, there's a different word. Now, I'm not saying I'm a smarty pants because I know Greek, or I went to more college and I learned Greek. I did go to more college and learn Greek, but I am Greek. I still think in Greek. It's a beautiful descriptive language. It's my preferred language. In fact, as I get older, I'm starting to forget some English words, and I've got the Greek word, and my wife's like, "That's a worry." But I notice there's a different Greek word. So the first Greek word in verse 9 is like when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," that overarching good, "I am the good shepherd," it's that word. But there's something different in the second word. And we see Jesus use that. In Mark 10, Jesus says, "No one is good except God alone." Can you see that same root word? Well, let's go to my favourite theologian now to explore what that word may mean. This is my mum. It's a photo of me and my mum outside Burke Street Congregational Church in Surrey Hills in the late 60s, I guess. We just uncovered this photo a few years ago. She didn't even recognise herself, but I look exactly the same. And she told me as a little boy to pray for thanking God for all the things he had blessed me with, because God is so generous. And she told me to pray for other kids around the world, that God would bless those children too, because a lot of kids had less than I did. Even though I was one of the poorest kids at school, other kids had less than me. And she asked me to pray to the Agathos God of the universe, the generous and good God of the universe, thanking him for the Agatha, the things that he gives me. And it's easy to take for granted, and I know I do it myself. I wake up in the morning and I think, "Oh, I need a strong coffee," but I really should wake up and think, "I have being. I exist. I have been created in God's image. I'm breathing. My heart is beating because God is generous. There is sunshine. There is food. There is rain. There is friendship. There is a church community because God is generous. God is good. God is generous." But if only God is good, how can we exercise this goodness if only God is good? Well, it's because as Christians, we are connected to God, aren't we? We are told in the Bible more than 70 times that we are in Christ. If you trust in Jesus, you are in Christ. You belong to Jesus. You're united to Jesus. Jesus in John 10 says, "He holds us. He's never going to let us go." On the day of judgment, we're going to shelter in Jesus. We will not be judged. So we are in Christ. And for those of us who believe in Jesus, it's because the Holy Spirit's opened our eyes and we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so we live out God's divine goodness. Now, Teresa's memorized these. I haven't, so I'm going to read them. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. See that word again? Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm not here to bag out the NIV. The NIV is a great translation. I love it. But I do notice that word pops up again, goodness. And I think the better translation is generosity. And Christians are extraordinarily generous. That is a supernatural thing at work in you. You know, giving to support your church, giving to charities, giving to people, giving of your time, praying for people, that is a supernatural activity. It's because you are in Christ and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So how do we direct this divine generosity? By doing good to all people, verse 10 tells us, and compassion does good to all sorts of kids, Muslim kids, Buddhist kids, Hindu kids, kids whose parents are into witchcraft, kids whose parents are drug dealers, without discrimination, all kids. And through sponsorship, you've got an opportunity to do good to all kinds of kids. So your church partners with churches in the Philippines, both in Manila and a place called Bacolod City on the island of Negros, where there is extreme poverty. And I've got lots of profiles of kids here today if you'd like to sponsor a child, if you haven't thought about doing that already. But I don't want you necessarily to sign up to sponsor a child today, a spur of the moment decision. I would love you, if you've considered sponsorship, or if you're considering sponsorship, just to take a profile home. Just choose any child. It doesn't matter who you choose. Take a child's profile home and pray about it. And God will make it clear to you whether you should sponsor that child or not. And if you don't sponsor that child, not everyone can afford $48 a month, you can just keep the child's profile and pray about it, and then we'll find another sponsor for that child. But there is a QR code on the back to sponsor the child, and there's an expiry date. So I've got custody of these profiles. It can only be one of these profiles in the world at any time until the 21st of August 2023, and then the QR code stops working. And if you're not a big fan of QR codes, then there's a phone number you can sponsor that child. Now, this is Bianca. She's 18. She previously had a sponsor who cancelled, and we don't kick the kids out. We find a new sponsor for them. And children usually graduate at 22. You can do good to all kids without discrimination. So do good to all people, but did I get something wrong? Because then it says, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So why have I emphasised let us do good to all, when it seems that there's more of an emphasis on doing good to Christians? Well, again, I don't know if that's a good translation. I think, I remember my dad when he was still alive, he would say the Greek word malista. It's just an emphatic yes. It's like, let us do good to all people. And yes, certainly to those who belong to the family of believers. It's not saying do lots of good to Christians. And if you've got a bit of time and energy and money left over, do good to non-Christians too. It's like, well, let's do good to all people. And you guys should know as Christians, of course, you're going to do good to believers. That's part of your DNA. You're going to look out for the family, aren't you? So how does compassion do good to the household of believers? Because certainly it's expected that we will look out for each other. I'll take you on a quick trip through Indonesia. This is my son, Marky, in February 2014. He sponsored Gereswanda, and we went to visit Gereswanda in 2018. He lives at the base of an active volcano. I remember one of my kids said, why don't they move? Because it's really dangerous here. I said, yeah, that's poverty. They don't have the option to move. Poverty restricts your options. But they seemed happy enough living at the base of that volcano. We went back in 2020, again after our Thai part of the trip with the Harkams. We went to Indonesia, and Gereswanda had been doing well. He was leading a Bible study group with five other boys. His parents had become Christians, which is a really good thing, because last year his dad died. And that town is being transformed through long-term holistic discipleship of children. There's 1,000 people in that village, 105 are Compassion Sponsor kids, and around half of the people in that village are in some way connected to the sponsorship program. Many people are becoming Christians. Many of those kids are going off from school to university, which was something that hadn't been happening before Compassion came along. So we are doing good to that household, that the family of believers, because we are blessing that church. We are a church. We are churches in Australia, blessing churches like Gereswanda's church in Indonesia or other churches in the Philippines. We are partnering with those partner churches to be able to reach their communities holistically. They want to reach their communities and provide medical aid and tutoring and everything else, but they don't have the resources. So we are resourcing those churches to love their people. So we are a blessing to the household of believers. Oh, where are we up to? Can we just go back one slide? Sorry. I'm Facebook friends with Cara, so my wife and I are Facebook friends with Cara in the Philippines. Kids who are often the poorest, but in the Compassion program, have the best educational outcomes, because so much time and effort is poured into those children during the week. After school, they come to the Compassion Project, and they're tutored, and they're fed, and they're cared for, and they're known, loved, and protected. So Cara was telling me there that she had gotten through her university degree in teaching with high distinction. Now, I don't think that would have been possible without Compassion's ministry. And it was a privilege for us to be part of that, seeing amazing spiritual outcomes in Indonesia, seeing amazing educational outcomes for our kids. And when I say protected, that is a big thing. During COVID, in the Philippines alone, online sexual exploitation of kids is up more than 1,000% because parents have lost livelihoods. But when Compassion's in a community, they're hypervigilant. Compassion's a world leader in child protection. So it's not like a little catchphrase, known, loved, and protected. it's a reality. Finally, when should we do good? Well, the Greek word there, kero, at the proper time, and then you have the word opportunity, which kind of implies now and again when an opportunity presents itself. But it's really the same word. It's therefore as we have time. As you, as a Christian, have been, as you exist on earth with every heartbeat, with every breath that God gives you, do good to all people with the life that our God has generously given you. And the ultimate example of doing good and not growing weary is our Lord Jesus Christ. He did not grow weary. We're told in the Bible, for the joy set before him, he went all the way to the cross and he gave his life. He actually was so generous, he gave everything for us. He gave his whole life so that we could have eternity with him, and he even defeated death for us. Praise be to Jesus for raising up his church, for raising up you as Christians, for raising up your church, churches in Sydney, churches all over the developed world, to be a blessing to churches in the developing world. But you know, visiting those churches in the developing world, that has been a beautiful journey for me too, because they are people with very little, but they are so dependent on God, and they live out lives of faith, because only God can provide, and they are crying out to the generous God of the universe to care for them. And through Compassion's ministry, we have an ability to be part of that, to be part of God's great generosity and love. I'd love to talk to you afterwards. There are a few of us outside who can answer any of your questions. Thanks for listening today, and I really want to thank you for being a beautiful church. You've been amazingly generous over the past 10 years, and you've been a tremendous blessing in the lives of many children and many families. Amen.
Let's join together in praising this generous God.
Talents to Spend some time in prayer now. I'll be praying for Compassion and for the work of that organisation, and then Mel will come and pray for the needs of St Aidan's. Father God, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you have worked in our lives, redeeming us from the power of sin, rescuing us from death, and bringing us into relationship with you. Father, we pray for your workers in Compassion. We thank you for this organisation. We thank you for the work that they do amongst the poor and for the way that you show your love to them. We pray you'll continue to use these workers, that your love will be shown to millions of children across the world. We pray that you'll strengthen them and sustain them as they deliver the programs and activities, and especially given the growing challenges and persecution they face from religious terrorists in many countries. We pray, gracious Lord, for your protection, over children who, because of their poverty, are vulnerable to exploitation or abuse. Please watch. Please watch over them. Enable the cycle of poverty to be broken. And bring not just these children, but their families into safety. Father, we've heard about the Philippines. And we pray for all the citizens in the Philippines, especially during the recent typhoons and flooding that they've experienced. Please help the government and the aid agencies to respond to the tens of thousands who've been displaced. Help the Compassion projects and the workers to remain safe and to be able to continue to care for the children in their care in the midst of this crisis. Father, we pray for the Compassion organisation generally. We pray for the leaders of that program, that you will help them to make wise decisions. You'll help them to allocate the resources well and best decide the areas of need. Father, thank you for the local churches. Strengthen the relationships between Compassion and those local churches. Help them to navigate any difficulties or differences of opinion. And please continue to raise up sufficient workers to meet the needs they face. Father, we thank you that so many Compassion children come to know you, and through that, through them, their families also come to know you. We thank you that many graduates return to serve as Compassion volunteers themselves. We pray for all the sponsor children. May they grow up knowing that you love and care for them. And may you act to remove them from poverty, enabling them to support themselves and their families in the future. We ask that you will enable a growing spirit of generosity among us here at St. Aidan's and your church generally. Help us to be thankful for all the blessings you give us. The Spirit are encouraged each morning just to be thankful for being, thankful for our salvation, thankful for all the resources that we have here. Help us to be keen to show that generosity to others. Help us not to share our money, but also our prayers. And if we sponsor children, our letters of support. And throughout all of this, may your name be glorified. Amen.
Let's keep praying. Thank you, Father, for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for revealing yourself to us so that we may know you. Father, we thank you that we can read your word without persecution and come anytime to you in prayer. Lord God, we pray for the commencement of divorce care this week. Please have your hand over members of the community that will come and join. We pray that they may feel accepted and safe in this space, and we ask that they are shown the love of Christ by others. And as they are shown this, may they long to find out more about Jesus. Please draw many to you through this ministry. Lord God, we commit to you those in Year 12 sitting trial exams soon. Thank you that you have gone before them and that you know each of them and their futures so intimately. We ask that you will give them clear minds to do their best. And ultimately, Lord, we pray that you will help each one to remember that you are in control, that you are good, and that you are working for their good in all things. Lord, we also lift up Penny O'Grady undergoing cancer treatment at the moment. Please comfort her and be with her during this time. Please give doctors wisdom in her treatment, and we ask that you will heal her. Give Penny strength to keep trusting in you and looking to you during this time. Father God, we pray also for Denise and for the passing of her mum recently. Please comfort her with your love and continue to give her and her family strength as they cling to you. Thank you for your kindness to those who are grieving. And we long for the day when you will return and there will be grief no more. Thank you that you hear our prayers and that we can come to you in the name of Jesus. We pray all of these things. Amen. We're going to pray together now. And say the Lord's Prayer. So please join with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Please stand again.